Welcome. Thank you for tuning in. Today we delve into our recent hustings event in Galway, featuring European election candidates in the Midlands North West constituency. Hosted jointly by SIPDU and the Irish Congress of Trade Unions, this lively debate saw candidates from Fianna Fáil, Labour, Sinn Féin, the Social Democrats and the People Before Profit discuss the EU directive on adequate minimum wages, and they were asked to support the union-led Respect at Work campaign. In the episode, we explore the key issues raised at the event, including union busting. With opening remarks from SIPDU Deputy General Secretary Ethel Buckley and chaired by SIPDU Honorary Vice President Alan Lindley, we hope this podcast provides an insight into the future of workers' rights in Ireland, the EU, and where election hopefuls in Midlands Northwest stand on workers' rights. We hope you enjoy.
I'd like to thank everybody for coming here today, this evening. It's going to be a great opportunity for people to listen to views and have questions. I'd also like to thank Joe Cunningham for coming here today at the back. He's the General Secretary of SIPDU. You're very welcome, Joe, here today. I'm now going to introduce Ethel and Ethel.
So I'm going to just talk for a minute then about this directive, which is so important to trade unions, so important to SIPDU and the Irish Congress of Trade Unions, and that is the EU directive on adequate minimum wages, which needs to be transposed into Irish legislation by November of this year. And then next year, in 2025, an action plan needs to be agreed between the social partners in Ireland to give effect to the Adequate Minimum Wages Directive. And the trade union SIPDU, Mandate Trade Union, the Communication Workers Union, and the Financial Services Union, supported by other unions and by civil society organisations representing young workers and migrant workers, are campaigning in this Respect at Work campaign, which you're going to be hearing a bit about tonight. You're going to be seeing a video about this campaign tonight. We've come together to campaign in the Respect at Work campaign with the single aim of the strongest possible worker-centric transposition of that directive in November. And we're going to be asking ye tonight whether you support us in that and what that support from ye would look like if you got elected. We have ideas about what it should look like, but we want to hear from ye in it. And we don't want to catch anyone out. That's why we circulated the link to the directive to you last Friday and told you that we'd be discussing it. And that's why we also told you that we'd be showing you a video on the issue of union busting. So union busting is specifically mentioned in the EU directive on adequate minimum wages. Sometimes when we in the campaign talk about this issue, people say to us, oh, that sounds very American. It's actually in the European directive. It's specifically described in it as one of the key reasons why unions around the European Union have been declining in membership. Aggressive union busting by employers. In other words, victimising, discriminating against, even sacking union activists for organising in the workplace or for organising and unionising their workplace. Union busting is rampant in the Republic of Ireland, and it is absolutely rampant in the constituency that you're running in. There is an additional issue, which is that in this country, and we're an absolute outlier in the European Union in this regard, workers do not have a legal route to achieving union recognition. So you could have 100% of workers in a workplace join the union, any of our unions, the Communication Workers Union, Mandate, Financial Services Union, any other union that's in the room. And even if 100% of people in the workplace want to be represented by the union, there's no statutory right for the workers for that to happen. In fact, what there is an employer veto. So the employer actually decides whether or not they're going to voluntarily recognise the union for collective bargaining purposes. And we want to hear your views on that issue. And so, in fact, in SIP2, just this afternoon, we went public on a case that has just been to the Labour Court in a big employment in the constituency that you're running in Steris and Offaly, where our members want to be recognised by SIP2, or want SIP2 recognised for collective bargaining purposes. The employer is saying no. The Labour Court has said to them, recognise SIP2 for collective bargaining. They're ignoring that. And that is a classic form of union busting, refusing all of those workers the right to engage in collective bargaining, which we believe is a fundamental human right. So that is happening in this constituency right now, and you're going to be hearing more about that plant in Offaly. I'm just going to say a few words about this constituency. This is a very, very large and diverse constituency. Obviously, geographically, it's very large, stretching from Donegal to Dundalk and from the cliffs of Moher to Cavan in 15 counties, 3 provinces, 1.8 million people. But if you look at the employment profile of this constituency, it's very interesting, actually. The majority of people work full-time. They work in a workplace. They don't work at home. Some people do, more and more people do, but the majority work in a workplace. And low pay is absolutely endemic in this constituency. More than 1 in 5 workers is categorised as low paid. In other words, they earn less than the median wage. And low pay doesn't just affect the workers themselves, it affects their families and communities. But it's also a massive drain on the local economy because we have to subsidise lower owed employers. With social welfare transfers. So we'd be interested to hear your views on low pay as well. The other thing that's quite interesting about this constituency is there's a very, very, very large number of workers that work in the manufacturing sector in this constituency. And then a second largest sector is wholesale and retail. And the third largest is health and social care activity. And low pay and union busting happens across all of those sectors. It's not limited to any one particular sector. You might think that it might be limited to hospitality or something like that, but that's not the case. Okay. Finally, just going to say, the trade union movement here, I think the jury would agree with this on behalf of the Irish Congress of Trade Unions, certainly SIP2 and the other unions in the Respect at Work campaign, are really concerned at the polling that indicates that European politics are likely to be dragged to the right, centrist politics are likely to be dragged to the right, and that the next parliament is going to shift much more to the right. We're very concerned about that. And I suppose we have a view as well on who should be the next commission, president of the commission. Ursula von der Leyen is running for it. We definitely weren't impressed with her reaction to the Israeli genocide. And Nicola Schmidt is probably the chief contender up against her. Nicola Schmidt is the co-rapporteur of the Directive on Adequate Minimum Wages. He was the politician that drove that directive. He's a trade unionist and a socialist. And I suppose that we would feel he's much closer to our stable than the other person that's running. Of course, there are people running from the left and from the Greens and from the far right as well. So that's it. Those are the comments I wanted to make. Really, just to say to you, this is the trade union hustings. Right? We want to hear about trade union issues, worker issues. And we're delighted that we're joined here tonight. There's a very large trade union membership in this constituency across the union movement. In SIP2, we have just under 57,000 members in this constituency directly. And of course, we represent the interests of their families and communities as well. So we're a very large voting bloc. We do intend to make footage of tonight available to our activists. And we are joined here tonight by the very senior activists of those workplaces and our sister unions. So the people you're engaging with tonight are here in a representative capacity, representing all members of the unions.
Now, I'm going to talk about the ground rules here today. I just want all people in the room to be respectful of each other. Okay, that's very important here today. We need to stick to the issues, and we do not want personal attacks. That's not what we're here for. We now have a video. It's a 3-minute video called the Show Respect at Work video.
We all receive our deliveries every day, and, you know, we don't really see what goes on behind the scenes. And
Tom is a delivery worker. It's not his real name. And in the following interview, he asked us to hide his face and change his voice. His crime? Trying to organise a trade union in his workplace.
We were all just above minimum wage, and you could be expected to work 12 to 15 hours a night. I've seen people being sacked for not knowing how to do tasks that they had received no training for, and staff were being shouted at, screamed at by managers, really aggressively getting up into their faces, as everybody knew that there was nobody there to stand up for you.
Ireland has the weakest workers' rights in Western Europe. This leaves people like Tom prey to cynical employers who drive down their terms and conditions and even sack them when they try to fight back.
So when we mentioned the union, like, people were going into it. We got 15, 20 lads, no problem, straight up to a meeting. And the lads actually elected me as their rep. You know, and I was delighted because we all got on so well together.
For Tom and his colleagues, coming together and trying to organise a union should have been the start of things getting better. Instead, it was the start of a new wave of victimisation.
And a line manager came up to me and he said, listen, head office won't tolerate unions around here. So I arrived for work as normal and I was just loading the cage, and next of all, a manager called me in to the office, said they wanted to speak to me. I went in, there was two managers there. They told me that I was gone and I was sacked.
Tom's boss never gave him a reason for a sacking, but he never needed one. Tom knew why. He was sacked for organising the union.
I'm not unique. This isn't just my story. This is happening to workers right across Ireland. We need laws in this country so that workers like me are protected.
Politicians have allowed Ireland to become a wild west of low pay, poor conditions and insecurity. If you believe that workers like Tom should be protected at work, join our campaign and demand an end to union busting for good.
So to kick off the debate, candidates were asked for their reaction to the video and whether or not they supported the Respect at Work campaign.
Congress and Secretary for the invitation here this evening, and hopefully we get a good discussion, a comrade discussion. And I was glad to see that the actual invitations didn't extend to some of those who are on the further right. It's been commended that's been acknowledged by the union movement, that there are some of the candidates who are not friends of the wider workers' movement. I want to just in the first instance say, obviously, is that I fully endorse and support the Respect at Work campaign. I congratulate all those involved. I know my colleague Louise O'Reilly has engaged with the movement of this campaign, and as an MEP, I would also do so unequivocally. So to go to your second question, Ian, in regards to legislation at an EU level on union busting, you give an unequivocal, clear, it's a black and white issue. One that I would wholeheartedly support, but on the broader issue on the right to organise, obviously I would be a firm, as I've indicated, a very firm supporter of that. I think it's part of any left-wing political activist DNA to be actively encouraging workers to organise, and as a political activist, you know, it's to ensure that organised workers are paid better and live healthier lives. But for me, it's bigger than that. It's about the type of society we want. And organised labour isn't just about a group of people coming together to make sure we're better paid. I think it's at the core of being part of a very progressive society, and I think we need that now more than ever. And as an MEP, I was proud to support conditions on EU funding so that bad employers weren't rewarded, to include issues of social conditionality. So, likes of state aid, if it's been given, so that entities that were unable to access state aid would need to ensure that there would be allowing, you know, the right to organise, etc., etc. So I'm very much, it's a black and white issue for me in that regard, and indeed for Sinn Féin as an organisation.
That's great, thanks Chris. Rory, would you like to come in? And Rory Hearn?
Yeah, thanks. Similarly as well, thanks for the invite. I'm delighted to be here with the Congress and trade unions who are part of that. It is, for the Social Democrats and for myself, workers' rights are at the heart of what we're trying to progress as a society, and it set out very clearly in my campaign manifesto and campaign priorities is promoting workers' rights within Europe. What's very clear, what's happened and is continuing to happen, as you've set out in the video there, is the absolute failure for workers to have what Etzel referred to as the basic human right to be able to organise into a trade union and organise their workplace, and for them to be able to engage in representation on behalf of their workers, and in for the employer to have to engage with them. Of course, the basics of collective bargaining, and I completely support the campaign, your demands, and would push at a European Union level for that. And I think that if we look at what has happened, you know, the campaign set out there that Ireland has the weakest, you know, workers' rights in Europe, which really is shocking when we think about it. We are one of the wealthiest countries in Europe, and yet we have such massive levels of low pay. And of course, we know why that is. It is because our politics and policies have been dominated by neoliberal politics, by politics that has put the market, that has put big business ahead of the interests of working people. And we can see the results of that. We can see the results in terms of the low pay levels, which really are shocking. One in five workers who are also then living a cost of living crisis, who are, we saw recently the figures during this week, shocking figures, showing when we've had record economic growth, we had an increase in the number of children in households living in deprivation, an increase to over 250,000 households living in deprivation. And many, many of those will be working households, and a rise in working poverty. So the key issue for me in terms of trade unions and collective bargaining and the importance of it is about workers being able to get a decent standard of living so that they can afford the basics in terms of housing, food, access to healthcare, which they have been denied. And so I completely support your campaign and look forward to the rest of the discussion.
Thanks very much, Rory. Could I bring in Brian O'Boyle there, please?
From the thanks very much. Yeah, and it's really nice to be here, actually. When I first started as a lecturer in the St. Andrews, as it was, and now it's the ATU, I had the privilege of, in the very first week, being met by the union rep, and they said, listen, Brian, we're in the ATU, or sorry, we're in the TUI here, and we want you to join. And that was the easiest decision I've made, because it gave me protection. And it made sure that we, as a collective group of workers, could stand together and could make sure that if there was any issues for any of us, we could unify. And that gives you a massive amount of protection and power when you're in a society where employers have more control than workers have. And so it was the collective power that we got. And so, I mean, hearing that story, in a way, it's a backhanded compliment to the trade union movement, because it's saying that the employers are desperate not to allow other workers to have that privilege, not to allow other workers to have collective bargaining, because they recognise that when workers get that collective bargaining and when they get that protection, other things follow with that. From that, first of all, they're better placed to get pay rises, they're better placed to get conditions, they're better placed to be able to build a life that has dignity, they're better placed to be able to live without the constant fear of low pay, without the constant fear of being unable to pay your bills, and that allows you then to have, you know, a mortgage and a family and all the rest of it. So the trade union movement, to my mind, is the most important set of organisations in Irish society, and I want to say that very clearly. On the specifics, People Before Profit had a trade union recognition bill in 2021 that would have gone a long way to solving the problem. It's been trapped in what they tend to do these days is that rather than taking an explicitly anti-worker position that would make the news, they allow your bill go into first stage and then they bury it in sort of all sorts of administrative technical. So it never, you know, no real strong protective workers legislation gets through, because their strategy is to bury it, basically. So we are absolutely in People Before Profit on the side of workers. I'm one of the rare economists who, when the more I heard about the economy, the further left I moved. and I'm very proud to say that I'm a socialist and a trade unionist, and anything that I could do as an elected MEP, I'd be more than happy to do. The last thing I'd say is we've got to learn as well, because I'm only one individual, and I think, you know, it's a complex area, and the trade union movement and yourselves have a lot of information that we could, you know, work alongside you with, because I wouldn't presume to know everything about what needs to be happening, but that's your role. And so working collectively, I would hope that you could use the position in a very effective way, you know, in the Parliament. So that's what I'd say.
Thanks very much, Brian.
Thanks very much, and thanks for the invitation. I suppose one of the things I just wanted to say immediately was I agree with the point that Ethel made, that workers' rights haven't necessarily come up in all the debates, although I just want to make the point that I've brought it up proactively in some of the debates I've been part of, most of the debates I've been part of, including the IBEC debate that was held here in Galway, proactively brought it up and made the point. I also spoke about it at the University of Galway Students' Union debate, later in the interview I did with Flirt FM, where really what I was, without wanting to sound like an alfella or patronise students, I was just trying to talk about something I've perceived or would be worried about in relation to sort of a complacency amongst some of my peers and younger, that maybe they've benefited from rights and terms and conditions that have been won by unions over the years, and then don't necessarily see the need for them to join a trade union. So I think it's really important that unions have access to employees in order to communicate the benefits of being a member of a trade union and communicating that. I think the video was very powerful. I wouldn't say it shocked me, because I was aware of that, although something that came up for me recently, I work in the community and voluntary sector, where I work with a lot of very vibrant and very excellent not-for-profit entities, but it did come up last year in the context of industrial relations and WRC process that came up last year. I was surprised to learn of one particular very well-liked and well-known Irish not-for-profit charitable organisation who was making it very clear to their staff that they were not permitted to join a union, or it was not the done thing, or it was not the customary practice. And I was, as sitting there actually as another representing actually employers in that instance, I was quite shocked by that. So myth busting exists within our not-for-profit community and voluntary sector, and I wouldn't have been aware of that. I'm a member of a union myself, and over 20 years public sector experience, I've needed the union once to assist me with a situation, and you know, I think it's only when you're in that situation that you really, really appreciate it. So, I mean, maybe just to finish, I would say I am coming at this with collaboration from Jed Nash and Marie Sherlock within the Labour Party, and their knowledge and their expertise, and offering, I suppose, that Labour front as an MEP candidate, and also obviously with my colleagues Niamh and Aon, who are also running. And really, what we would be suggesting is that the three of us in the European Parliament, as members of the Socialist and Democrats grouping, yes, supporting Nicola Schmidt for the presidency, but also playing a role within the European Parliament, pressurising the European Commission to pressurise the Irish government to make sure that they transpose this directive in the fullest way, not in a sort of a dragging your heels minimalistic way, but in a full, comprehensive, proactive, maximalist way. So that's kind of how I would see myself being able to contribute.
So from my own perspective and why I'm putting myself forward, I've been in elected politics now for 10 years. And for 8 of those 10 years, I've worked on European-focused briefs, defence, Brexit and European affairs. And I'm on the European Affairs or Office Committee. My own experience in terms of trade unions, is mainly with the Defence Forces. Actually, I was in the Army Reserve for 13 years. So I would work a lot with RACO, PD Fora and Ordy Fryer, which don't have trade union status as such, if you'd be aware, but are representative associations and are effectively doing what trade unions do, but just haven't got full status. So I will be supporting them in their endeavours in that regard. So I really value the work the trade unions do. And I think over the decades, we've got hard won workers' rights and women's rights through the trade union movement. And that work needs to continue. I think from a woman's perspective, sometimes the notion is there that we've reached equality and that the job is done. It's far from done, and there's still a gender pay gap to be addressed, and Europe has a role to play in that. I think for me, some of the key challenges that we will face in the European Parliament term ahead, and something I think that the trade union movement should work on, and I know that you are, and that I would be interested in working with you on, is the whole space of flexible working, but also the just digital transition. I think we've got shocking and alarming reports around the advances in artificial intelligence and the number of jobs that could potentially be lost through automation and the use of AI in a very short period of time, and the pressure that that would put on people needing to retrain or go, pivot to a different workplace. I think there will be huge challenges there that will require significant funding, not just from national government, but from a European level as well, if we are to maintain social cohesion and actually make sure that Europe delivers for all of its citizens and not just for some of its citizens. So I think that will be a key area for us to focus on in terms of the Parliament and working with the trade unions as well. And I think just making sure that there's a decency and fairness at the heart of Europe and how we deal with workers' rights and continue to advance, equality in terms of workers, but also making sure that we protect incomes, that we protect jobs, and that we make sure that work delivers a fair income to all workers and that people can actually live off their wages. And that coincides with the challenges that we're still facing in terms of cost of living, which is still impacting so many families. You know, inflation has leveled off to a certain extent, the prices are coming down a little bit, but things are still very expensive. The bread and butter stuff, literally bread and butter, is still very expensive, and all of the key the key things that we need just to live our lives. And then just finally then, in terms of public services, because this impacts directly on employees and employers as well, you need to have adequate childcare to make sure that everybody that wants to can participate in the workforce, adequate transport so that people can get to and from work, you know, without it costing an arm and a leg, and of course access to education, healthcare and adequate housing provisions. So it all works in tandem to make sure that we have a fair environment for everybody that's working. And then one final point is around precarious work in the gig economy. I think there are a lot of people working, particularly vulnerable people and young people, in working conditions where they are being taken advantage of, and they're on precarious contracts or no contract, and not getting paid even the minimum wage. So that is something that has to be tackled at an EU level.
Thank you for listening. For more information on the Respect at Work campaign, go to www.respectatwork.ie and sign up to be a supporter.